Thank you. Okay, I will talk today about the end of this this talk. It is say, if you believe that you say you have the answer, the mass scale, and the what you can be the consequence that you can have for some here in the earth, we can test this in some laboratory experiment. What you have the answer is correct or not? And this is some. This is the say. If you, the point is they say, if you mean moon give you no results for the experiment, this they don't expect any of this effect. But if you see, you have some another way to see what is the more details of the Fornetino models. Okay. Okay. This work is made in collaboration with Sukhanovich, Funchal, and Nunokawa. It is the happy number that you can see. Okay. The first point is they say, I made some words about what's the motivation for Fornetino mass schemes. And this implies a stellar neutrino. Okay? I not need to move. Okay? And the second point that I will just talk here, they say, what is the effects of the large mass scale? This is the main some of the main points of this work. Before everybody working the problem, they say, what is the role of the stellar neutrino can have in solar and atmospheric data? Okay? And here you worry about another more specific point. What is the effect of this large mass scale indicated by NCD can have in the experiments? Okay? The second, you see, what is the change that you can have in the probabilities? And I will show here that the biggest change that you see, you have, if you have four neutrinos, you have mu neutrino to electron neutrino conversion and mu neutrino to tau neutrino conversion. Okay? And, okay, you have this effect. But can you test this in some experiment? And the answer is yes. You can test this in some ice scoopy like experiment. And you can see this if you look for the data of upper going means and cascade events. Cascade events is a given, is a shower induced by electron neutrinos and tau neutrinos in the detector, okay? At the end of the conclusions, okay? Okay, and then what's the motivation to have four neutrinos? Okay, you know that from the solar data that you expect to have some atom square at the order of 10 to the minus 5. Okay, 7 to the minus 5 is almost maximum mixing. If you have atmospheric data, you know that the scale is the order of 10 to the minus 3 and the maximum mixing. Okay? And the answer to the experiment, he shows some indication that you have some mean neutrino to electron neutrino appearance. Okay? And with a scale of the order of 0.5 to 2 electron volt square. And this scale is completely separate from the other two scales. And then, if it's true, this means that you need to have at least four neutrinos. And this implies that you need to have a stellar neutrino. Okay? This is some point I want to emphasize that before Kanland, in principle, you can solve the solar data using some exotic mechanism. You can have some favor change mechanism, you can have the evaluation of equivalence principle, magnetic moment. But after the current, all these mechanisms are dead for the solar neutrino problem. This implies that if you put it in three, because the solar neutrino problem need the mass, atmospheric neutrino need mass, you need to have some four neutrino mass model. Before you can imagine some very complicated way to have some mixing between exotic and the mass oscillations. But now, no, you need to have mass, and you need to have four neutrinos, if NCD is correct. And here, the last point, they say, no experiment confirm or rule out NCD. Then I will make a backmagic view. Let's wait for Min Boon and to see what Min Boon says. Okay? This is the view that they see. Okay? Now here I show what is these four neutrinos mass schemes you have. You have two categories. The two is one so-called 2 plus 2. Why is 2 plus 2? Because you have two neutrinos here with some, let's see, some of this. You have two neutrinos here that they are separated by a gap given by the scale of NCD. This means that this separation is much bigger than this separation that is induced by the solar scale and by the atmospheric scale. This means that you have a scheme that you have three well-separated mass scales, and this then you can hide the two possibilities, just to have 2 plus 2, with 2 mass states here, and 2 low here, and so-called 3 plus 1, that if you forget the distance like you have now, a standard T-generation. But because you need a 30 NCD scale, you need to have some higher state. Okay? This is the two schemes that you have here. And for most of the applications that people made until now, also you have some alternative way. You can have something so-called inverted, which is that you change the signing of the NCD scale. Okay? All these parameters that you show in solar and atmospheric data, you don't need this. It's insensitive on the sign of NCD. And what you show here, if you have normal hierarchy or inverted hierarchy with respect to this scale, the results are different. Okay? In other words, you can have, let's say, you show that the, my God. Yeah.
Just one trivial comment. I guess the map data rule out the upper end of the LSMB range now.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Well, they have some
neutrino
masses.
Yeah, the
question
is
not yeah.
I mean, the point is that if the upper neutrino is mostly sterile, it isn't clear how that gets populated. It doesn't necessarily have a thermal energy spectrum.
Yeah, but it probably rules out an inverted 3 plus 1 scheme, I think.
Sure, yeah. This is the most easy to say. Yeah, they say if you compare with the map data, this is more scudded.
That one, yeah.
You know, that it is. I mean, this is in the border.
You can get around with chemical potential.
Well, the chemical potentials are very restricted now, too.
That's true, yeah, but I don't know if anybody has done the details of the analysis.
Well, the chemical potentials are not restricted on the scales that would be required, I think, to suppress or to make enough mischief with active sterile mixing. So the chemical, the Lepton numbers are less than about 0.1.
I mean, the question is how much can you change the number of densities today?
Yeah. Probably quite a bit in a heavier sterile.
Okay. Then this is the schemes that you can have. But will you show?
Can I ask another question, though? That it just seems to me that once you buy into four neutrinos, why aren't you buying into six?
Why do you buy?
Once the camel's nose is under the tent, whatever the expression is, and there's one sterile neutrino, why aren't there three sterile neutrinos?
But the problem is to say, these things, the point I mean, you can answer for this. With four neutrinos, you already have 6 meter angles and 2 mass scales.
Sure.
It's like a very complicated system.
I understand that.
But
the minimal extra piece that you add is one sterile neutrino.
Yeah.
But, you know, physics wise, I would think that if there's one sterile neutrino, there are two others. Why?
Not necessarily. You can have some, not necessarily that you need to have some double single symmetry. And another point also they say if you increase the mass beyond the NCD range, for example, like 10 electrovolts or 100 electrovolts, you can have this, all the experiments that limit how much the mixing that you can have with the light state.
Sure.
This means that it's not so easy to say that. In principle, you can have some higher neutrino here, okay? But the effect will be that you will see some reduction of the mixing here. It's not unitary. But I think this is effects is a second order effect. And the point is, say, you don't need now, I need for additional sterile neutrinos. If you four neutrinos, it's sufficient to try to describe this, the solar, atmospheric, and NCD scale. It's the minimum, okay?
It just seems to me that the analysis of the experiments now, in terms of four neutrinos, is extremely restricted. And arguably, you're even eliminating 3 plus 1 in most of these schemes, or they're just barely allowed. But if you went to 5 neutrinos or 6 neutrinos,
would that change it much?
I don't know.
I can't see why it would change it very much because you're sort of constrained I mean, you can't mix sterile neutrinos much, many places, so you have to mix them up there. Then you can define the combination that goes up there, and the other combination was pretty much decoupled.
I would imagine.
No, the point is to say, if you didn't, this is the highest state that the couple, you have the same thing, or it's worse than that with four neutrinos. But if it's not the couple, it means that the additional neutrinos is some mass higher here, in principle, you can have some. The effect is not so simple. Or if it's the couple, I agree with you. If you add the couple stellar neutrino, you are much more worse situation. Because the constants are worst if you have one additional stellar neutrino. Okay. I'll talk a bit about the limits. Okay. And then, now this is about the limits thing. To have some idea what would be the limits that you have in this, you have two aspects to see. One aspect at, let's say, how much you have the stellar neutrino in the solar experiment and the atmospheric experiment. For this, you can, before you work with this four neutrino system, you can create some two neutrino system. This is the solar scale. This is the state one, this is state two. You can rewrite this in terms of the favors, okay? Then, what it means if you have a stellar neutrino? This means that you can have some transition between this state here, that you have electron favor, and some tilde favor. And this is a mixing between a tau neutrino and a stellar neutrino.
It's not a tau neutrino.
Huh?
It's not a tau, it has to be a mixture of tau and mu, obviously.
No, yeah, okay.
So it's
nu x. Yeah.
Active neutrino.
No, but for the solar problem here, doesn't matter, it's mu or tau. It's the same.
But it has, but for the whole matrix to be orthogonal, it's got to be obviously not a mixture.
Otherwise,
no.
You're talking about the atmosphere.
He's only thinking about the solar.
So let's call it nu x and not nu tau. Right. So it makes sense.
Okay. And then what's the point? The point is to say, if you have this parameter eta s equal to 1, you have only stellar neutrino. This means that the electron neutrino mixing with your stellar neutrino. Okay. If you have eta s equal to 0, you have electron neutrino mixing with tau neutrino. And this is where the limits can be formed. Because you can put limits on this parameter here. And what the experiment said, that the solar analysis said, that this parameter needs to be small. Okay? The solar data prefer a small component of stellar neutrinos. Okay? Okay. The same way, you can define also some analogous parameter in the for the mu scale. And this parameter is called this DS. Okay? Okay, now it is the other aspect of the four neutrino model. For the four neutrino model, then you have this large mass scale, the NCD scale. But you know from all the other short phase line experiments, you cannot have a big transition between mu neutrino and the other favors. The survival probability of mu neutrinos and the electron neutrinos is very close to 1, okay? This means that you can parameterize this in some two neutrino system. This is a so-called, for example, in the two plus one, this is the state one, this is state four. This is the NCD scale. This means that the electron neutrino can mix with some raw neutrino that is some linear combination of a stellar neutrino and tau neutrino. What this means? This means that if you have, let's say, if you have electron conversion at short baseline experiments, you expect to see that this parameter needs to be bigger. But you don't see this. This implies this parameter needs to be small. Okay? This means that the mixing between electron neutrino and high states need to be small. Okay? Then this is the limit that you can find from the short baseline experiments. Okay? And if you have the mu channel, it's the same thing if you change this parameter by a mean parameter, okay? And also this needs to be small. Because you don't see any oscillation, any conversion of mean neutrino and electron neutrino in solid baseline experiments. And for, okay, this I forgot to say. This is the 2 plus 2 scheme, before I said. And the 2 plus 1 scheme, It is equivalent to this, but you need to change this parameter to 1 minus V. Okay?
Which state is the one, the top thing, the LSND state?
This is some linear. This is some linear combination. They say this is some. If you have two neutrinos, you'll be some electron neutrino. Or say, if you have some state electron neutrino, here some orthogonal. This state is okay. Let's imagine they don't have stellae. This will be electron tau transitions at the NCD scale. Okay. But the point is that in principle, you can't have the more general situation. You don't have. Besides, you have tau, you can have stellar neutrino. For robotized mentions, this doesn't matter. But for the solar data, it is it matters, because you can have some stellar component. Okay? This implies that if you just 2 plus 2, if DE is equal to 1, you don't have transition. Because the electron neutrino is in the lower state. If DE is closer to 0, you have a bigger transition here. Okay. No, I'm sorry. Just the opposite. If D is equal to 1/2, yeah, 1/2. Okay. What it is implies? If you see the 2+2 model, this parameter that is the mixing between the electron neutrino and the high state needed to be very small, and mu also is small.
Isn't this a hierarchy dependent statement?
No.
No. Why?
No, because it's laboratory experiments.
No, but
this image here on DE, the moon, is a laboratory experiment. Well, the point is,
I can say the same thing by saying that 1 minus DE is bigger than 0.98, and it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
No, it's not depending on hierarchy, depending on the scheme.
And if DE is either very big or very small, you get the same result.
Yeah, but the point is to say, if DE is very big, you will be, the electron neutrino don't participate in the solar oscillations.
That's why I say that it depends on the hierarchy. If the hierarchy is inverted, then the solar pair is on the top. So in your definition of DE, that's on the top. Can you go back one? I mean, if I look at this, one of these red lines is a solar pair, and the other red line is the atmospheric pair. When you change the hierarchy, these flip. Right? And you want the electron neutrino to be mostly in the solar pair.
Sure. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, you go ahead, yeah. Okay. And the other point is the same. This is not trivial. This is about to try to answer the question was fully. The point is, say, if we made it the global fit, you have two regions where you be. One region where it's where you have most of the stellar neutrino is in the solar data. And the other is most of the stellar neutrino in the atmospheric data. The 2+2 model has some characteristics. Or you have stellar neutrino participating in solar data, in solar oscillations, or in atmospheric oscillations. You cannot skip this. And if we made the global fit, the two options are more or less the same, the minimum of Q-quires there, okay? Then this implies that, although if you look only for solar data, you prefer a small stellar neutrino. If you look for atmospheric data, you prefer a small atmospheric, a small stellar data. But if you the global fit, the point is to say, you can be in the two situations. You can have the small stellar in solar and the bigger in atmospheric, or you can have the reverse situation.
Neither one fits it in.
No, the two fits are good. Let's say good. Okay. Let's say if you are working with the 2+2, the two fits are good. Why? Because the point is to say the if you see the minimum chi square that you have for the sum of solar and atmospheric is a very good fit. The degrees of
can't go to sterile. Snow told you that.
No, the point is to say, if you have one, you have two neutrinos, I agree with you. The point is to say, the solar data, yes, but if you combine solar or atmospheric data, this is not true. The point
solar tells solar.
No, okay. I agree with you that the point is to say, the solar data, you say that you have a small stellar. But the sum of the two, the point is to say, you can have.
You have the sum of the two. The solar has small stellar, period. Nothing to do with the atmosphere.
Yeah, but
the data.
Yeah, but if you want to describe all the data that you have.
Well, you have to get rid of the sterile and the solar. You've got to do it. That's what the data tells you. That's what Snow told you.
No. No, SNO told you that you don't have, let's say, if you have sterile neutrino, the solar data said you need to have a small sterile neutrino. I give it to you. The point is to say, if you look for the data of solar plus atmospheric, the point is to say, you can have situation, the point, the atmospheric scale, the atmospheric field is so good that you can add a sterile neutrino and still the field is good.
This is a statistics magic.
This is
nonsense.
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, what you're saying is that you can get a poorer chi-squared for the solar fit by adding in a sterile neutrino, but the joint chi-squared of solar plus atmospheric could still be very good.
Yeah.
That's
nonsense.
So, but this goes into the state of combining experiments that want different things, right? You have the solar experiment that wants a number to be 1. The atmospheric experiment wants the same number to be 0.
But no, the atmospheric neutrino tells you there's some limit on the sterile neutrinos in atmospheric. Period. That limit comes from various analyses. It's not nearly as strict.
I think you're right if you say that there's an experiment that says there are no steriles associated with the solar neutrino scale. Then you're right. But I think this is
the point.
So conscious fit, for example.
Yeah, true.
What I call the 2080 fit. So, the best chi squared, but what she got was, 80% in the sterols in the atmosphere at the atmospheric scale and 20% of the sterols in the sun, or vice versa.
Yeah, sure.
This is the
data, well, we know that. Just look at
the
data.
I agree.
No.
So it's nonsense. I mean, that means there aren't much sterol in solar and atmospheric.
No, the point is you have a contradiction between the data. Yeah. They say the solar data and atmospheric data for the 2+2 scheme is giving different answers. What is the correct one?
I mean, just look at the data. I mean, if statistics lies, it lies, and you don't let it do it.
Okay. I mean, people make a living out of this, and there is a well-defined way of trying to combine them and get a well-defined combined answer from them.
But the combined answer should be clearly said to be very, very bad.
Well, actually, I mean,
your answer
is that this model is just wrong, and I think that's probably right. One option is to say I have two contradicting data, and what this probably means is that the idea behind this interpretation is just wrong. The other thing is to stick to the idea and see how much you can push the data around to make a better fit. And these are the two different.
Yeah, but just from Snow and Super K alone, we can't really say there are no sterols.
No, Super K can put you can put quite a lot of sterols in the atmosphere. They put limits.
Right. I mean,
now those limits may not be so much.
Really, what you're saying is you can land.
Yeah.
Would really nail the coffin shut, so to speak. I mean, there would be.
For which
you really have the solution for the sun. It would be the large mixing and the solution. There'd be no room for sterols at that point.
There's very little room for sterols in there because the Snow don't do that.
No,
we also have some wiggle room if you modify, say, the fluxes from one moon.
Right. You have some wiggle room, but it's fairly small.
No, a lot of wiggle room.
What?
Yeah, it's not so small.
For what? For zero?
Yeah. If it's only solar, you change the Coulombian flux significantly. You can accommodate the large terrain.
Yeah.
But it's the CAM land that really helps.
Well, it's a combination of CAM land and snow.
But not so.
No, snow sees the things that are missing.
Right.
Interact. Yeah, that's very important.
But you know, the
I understand you can change the bar on 8 o'clock and you can put right. some stair out.
Yeah.
Quite a lot, actually. You can have 60%.
What?
You can have a large stair of bracket.
Yeah. True? No, this is what you get. Okay, are you continuing? Okay, and you have the triple zone model, you have the situation that you only have to say this parameter is too small. And the 2+1 model in such a way that you have a small component of stellar and solar in atmosphere. Okay? And you have some small perturbation of the higher scale. Now, let's see. Okay, let's accept this, let's say, the four neutrinos and these two schemes, 2+2 and 3+1. What you can get? Then, if you look, let's say, what can be the effect of the automatic scale in this thing? If you look at the T-generation scenario, if you have an energy bigger than 50 GeV, you can have this. You will see some minimal conversion given by the atmospheric scale and the most maximum mixing. And the premium E will be almost zero, because you are very high in energy, and then you have matter suppression of the conversion of mu to neutrino to electroneutrino. Okay? Then what you expect in the T plus one, in the T plus zero more, in the T generation? You expect non-mu neutrino to electroneutrino conversion, and very small mu neutrino to tau neutrino conversion. Because if you are increasing the energy, the phase of the oscillation will become smaller. Okay? Then, if you have a 4 neutrino scenario, what you have? Okay, you have a SLR mixing. Okay? But this is what I told you before. This is, you can be testing solid atmospheric that. Now, then, what are you doing here? Let's say, what is the effect of the large mass scale? Can you test this? And the point is to say, not test. Because the point is to say, for the solar data, for the atmospheric data, the NCT scale is too big. And all the effects are averaged out. Okay? And then you cannot really test what the scale is. Okay? And then the point. If you have the NCT scale, you expect to have, beside the atmospheric oscillations induced by atmospheric scale, you need to expect some NCT amplitude. Some conversion between mu and tau neutrino. Okay, this is in vacuum. Okay, but what are you coming here? We can see the details in the paper. That the point is, besides this vacuum that you expect naturally, you can have another effect. You can have some MSW effect, which they say you have the NCD scale, and if you have sufficient energy, you can have some conversion of the mu neutrino to electron neutrino induced by this large scale. This is the same thing that happens in the supernova. But in there, you have very much, very large densities. Then you can see these transitions. What I want to point here is that if you have density scale, and if you have a neutrino with TV energy range, you can see mu neutrino to electron neutrino conversion.
In what kind of matter?
In crossing the Earth.
Ah, okay.
When you cross the Earth, okay? This is the point. If you put the numbers, if you have a scale, the order of the NCD scale, if for the densities of the Earth, the resonant energy is 1.7 TeV. I think this is what is new. If you have then, if you have four neutrinos, and then you have this large mass scale, you need to see this mu to neutrino to electron neutrino conversion. This is the main point of this work. I wanted to say, you can have this effect here. Okay? And this, here you have, this is depending on what the sign of the NCD scale. Because this depends if the NCD scale is normal or inverted. Okay? Okay. And what it is implies that you will see a high energy, a electron neutrino appearance and tau neutrino appearance. Okay, but then the point is to say, okay, you have this. Can you see this? It's not working. It was not working. Okay. Then what did it say? What I made here?
Can I ask a quick question? So, I would guess it's not resonant, but it's not adiabatic. If there's a resonance, for example, in Europe.
For some parameters, it's adiabatic. Yeah. Yeah.
For higher delta M squared.
Hmm? For higher delta M squared. Okay. You not made a complete scan of all parameters, but you put for some parameters. Because here I need to explain a bit. What do you make? You know that you have these limits about the, you don't have about the sterile component in solar atmospheric data. Also you have the limits about the salt baseline spans. What you made? You made some parameterization of the mixing max, and choose some mixing angles that you are inside this region that is allowed by the base of the data. Using this, you made this plot. You made some four neutrino, you run the neutrino crossing the Earth, and you get what you have here. Then, if you don't have matter, what do you expect? You see this moon neutrino oscillating, this is the atmospheric scale. And if you increase the energy, this is going to be very small because you're suppressing by energy. The point is to say that if you include the matter, you begin to say, depending of if you have neutrinos or anti-neutrinos, you can have some big effect. Let's see here, this plot here, this is for 2 plus 2. This curve here is the moon survival that implies. If you have TV energy, what I showed in the previous slide, you can have some big deconversion. This was noticed some time ago by Yasuda, okay? But the point is to say that then you have this big effect here.
So you need neutrino and neutrino separation?
No.
Because it doesn't assign?
No, this helps. No, if you have neutrino and anti-neutrino separation, it will be better. Because the effect is much different if neutrino and anti-neutrino.
You get the suppression.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Bosh.
So, Bertie, that means is what you're saying, that you have to have either a different neutrino and anti-neutrino flux, or
sign
detect one or the other.
No sign detect.
Okay.
Yeah, but what you show here, you can see it is effect even then you have to chew the same time. Okay.
It's a very narrow energy range.
Sure. Okay,
this is for constant density.
Huh?
Taking constant density. Constant density.
No. This is made for the using the Earth profile. It's not constant density.
Yeah, but these are upward going.
Yes. No, this is crossing. Yeah.
Oh, it's crossing. Okay, so it's a double. It has a double density.
Double density. Yeah, sure.
The two density.
Yeah, these are you commenting next slide. And what is the point that was missed by Yasuda? It is this. If you have this, it's not only the point that you are deep in the mean survival probability. You'll be some mean neutrino direct neutrino conversion. This will be some very distinct signal. Because if you have the normal screen, you don't have this effect. Okay? Okay, obviously this depends on which, if you are in the correct sign or NSAD. If you don't have, you don't have much effect here. And
but there are effects like this for the normal, the kind of thing that Petkoff and company talked about. There is some kind of a
yeah,
normal enhancement in a certain place, maybe not these animals.
Yeah, you have this.
Much lower energy.
Yeah, yeah. This is a bore up of the mean neutrino to electron neutrino conversion. Then here it's difficult to find, but here you have three peaks. You have one peak here, additional peak here, and a third peak here. What this means? If you put the numbers, this is the resonant conversion in the core. And this is resonant conversion in the mantle. Okay, this is for neutrinos crossing all the Earth. Okay? And what is this peak is? This is a parametric resonance. This is the same with the phenomena. Before Akhenatov, Smirnov, Petkov, you choose what auto you wanted to choose. Let's say. Okay. And what is the point to say? The point is say. And the point is say, if you have this, before one notice that if you have atmospheric scale, and you have atmospheric neutrinos, you can have some parametric resonance. Parametric resonance, if you say some words, what it means? It means, if you compute what is the oscillation length for neutrinos crossing some matter, this, if this is equal to the size of the distance traveled by neutrino, you can have some enhancement of the conversion. This is not MSW conversion, okay? And this also you see here. If you put the parameters, the same phenomenon that they see for the atmospheric scale is for the NCD scale. You make some scaling, it's the same phenomenon. If you see the plot, it's exactly what you get there. It's not a surprise that you get here, okay? Then this is the effect. Then the point is, It's not only the point to have a MSW resonance, but you have Schuster, the correct parameters to have some parametric resonance of. Okay? And now, okay, you have this. Okay, this is very fine. You have mean Newtonian to electron Newtonian conversion, mean Newtonian to total Newtonian conversion, but you can't see this in the nature. This is the point. And the answer is yes, you can see this. If you look at atmospheric neutrinos, you see that the atmospheric neutrinos are produced by the pi decay mu neutrino. And this mu decay and give you this channel. This in pi, if you are in low energy, this ratio is between two. Because you have one mu neutrino here, another here, and you only have one electron neutrino here. And roughly you can say this ratio is a factor of two. But if in this energy, what will happen? The mu cannot decay anymore. And this is you cannot have this. This implies that this ratio is very high. If you are in the TV energy range, you have a factor of 30. Electronic force is a 30 factor less. And always you have the, you don't have much tau neutrino, because it's extremely suppressed the production of tau neutrinos. What it implies? If you have atmospheric neutrino at the TV energy range, you have almost a pure mu neutrino beam. Okay? This is, and this, what you choose is, if you have atmospheric neutrinos and you have four neutrinos, because you have this mu neutrino direct neutrino conversion, you can see this very the signal of the electron neutrino appearance. Because you don't expect to have electron neutrinos at the TV energy range. Okay? And another point I did not put here is the point. Okay, you can say, you can have, for example, extragalactic neutrinos. But for extragalactic neutrinos, the force here in this region is very small. Okay?
But again, it's very important. It's a very narrow region. So, I mean, the beam is a broad beam, and so this effect is in a very narrow energy slice.
The point is to say, I agree with you if you are thinking about upper going means. Because if you say upper going mean, what do you see? You see a mean that is produced outside the tetra and he enters into the tetra. And you don't see the energy of the mean. You only see a minimum. Then you need to negate all the energy. What you can show in the, here that you have these events called cascade events. What is cascade events? You have an event that produces some shower inside the tetra. If you have a tetra of the size of ice cube, you can put a threshold that is very close to this resonance effect. And then you say that just the points they need the resonance. Because what's the good thing of atmospheric neutrinos? The spectrum of atmospheric neutrinos is the power e times the minus 2.7, okay? This means that neutrinos for higher energy are suppressed. This is the good thing. It means that, okay, you don't have effect of high energy, but these neutrinos at high energy are suppressed by the force. Okay? Then if you choose your threshold in a correct way, you can pick up just the resonance effect. This is the point. Okay?
Are you seeing it in muon-like events or electron-like events?
The both.
Okay, so, but...
Can I go forward? Okay. What type of events I want to show here? First is upper going mean. You have a mean neutrino interact outside the tetra, and you see a mean neutrino that stop or cross the tetra. This is the usual type which supercomputing do. Okay? This is very straightforward to see this event. Okay? But also you can see the cascade events, charge cone. What is this imply? You have a electron neutrino, and the tetra produce a electron neutrino and a hadronic shower. These events is experiments like Amanda and Ice Cube can see. You can see in the net that you can already Amanda, that has very small size compared to Ice Cube, can see this type of events. They can separate. The problem is that they cannot separate these two in the energy that I'm interested in, because they are too small. But if you enlarge the tetra, you can see this type of events. The other point, you can see tau neutrinos. If you have tau neutrinos, you have the tau neutrino produced, and the tau neutrino decay, producing a red neutrino and a hadronic shower. Okay? At the second point, you have cascade events neutral current. The point is to say, if If you don't have 4 neutrinos, you only expect to see mil neutrinos. If you only have seen mil neutrinos, you have this, but you don't have this. But you have neutral current. This implies that if you see cascade events, you expect to see some background of neutral current events. And if you have 4 neutrinos in the top of this, you expect to see some electron neutrino contribution and tau neutrino contribution. Okay? This is the part, what I want to do.
The tiles in your background
of
the beats,
right? Yeah, but I...
So you have to have
a
double bang type
events.
No, don't need it.
I will sum all the events.
You just sum everything that's in the shower.
I see. You said the
effect
will be bigger.
Yeah, just...
Okay.
I have a further question. The electron shower events provide very cool directional explanation. In a detector like IceCube, right? Because the photomultiplier tubes are very far apart. Do you have to, what sort of directional discrimination do you need?
Here I put some perfect detector, but you can see in the IceCube proposal that you can see the events with some, I think some 30 years. They can see where is the electron neutrinos, the cascade is coming from.
Angular
resolution is 30 degrees.
They don't know exactly.
It's because it's TeV neutrinos.
Yeah. Okay, but the point.
So you can see if they're coming up or coming down.
Sure. No, this is sure. Oh, but there's some point I want to comment. The point in the IceCube proposal, they're interested in cascades induced by acid galactic neutrinos. It is very much higher energy. You are here in TeV energy. Then it's not exactly apply the numbers that you have in the proposal for this.
Right.
Okay? For this reason, you put here perfect resolution. Okay? Then what you get here? If you have upper ongoing minus, this curve here is what is expect if you have three generation neutrinos. We have mu tau oscillator of atmospheric scale. If you could the NCT mass scale, you have here you can see this curve here. Then, for example, if you have 2.2 normal inverted, you can see this curve here. And this is 3.1. If you compare these two curves here, these are mostly the same. The reason is very easy to understand. The point is, upward going minions, you need to put it a threshold because you need to walk, the tether is not infinite, it's some size, some 1 kilometer cubic. This means that to have this, the threshold in the mu energy need to be very small. Let's say, if you put a limit that you want to see a mu, an upper going mu with 1 TeV energy range, above 1 TeV, the number of events to expect is very small. Okay? This implies that you are not looking the deep of the resonance. You are looking for very low energy. Okay? Most of this effect here is the effect of not of the effect of large mass scale, but the effect of the atmospheric scale.
What sort of energy average
are
you having
in terms of? Let's see, one moment. The minimum is 25 GV.
So you took the entire spectrum?
Yeah, the entire spectrum. I sum out all the neutrino energies. Bigger 25 GV. This 25 GV is a magic number because IceCube experiments say if you see a track of 100 meters, this is the energy that they need to see this event, to characterize this as a moon. And I put this number here. Okay? And because this, you don't have many difference between if the hierarchy is normal or inverted. But also, you have some difference if it is 3+1 or 2+2. Okay, but the point that I wanted to say here is okay. The bigger difference to say, if you make a chi square of these two distributions, you can discriminate for these parameters. Always, you can discriminate this from this. Okay, you can say I have some effect, but I don't know what is the origin of this effect. I don't know if it's 2+2, 3+1, is normal invert. I cannot say anything this. Okay. I'm sorry, this is for 1 year of IceCube running. This is more longer, I think it's...
But how much does it have to run to be able to tell them about?
Opal going, cannot say. Okay. You can say that you have effect, but I cannot say what this effect is. This now is cascade events. And here's the point, let's say. Here, what I made, I sum up the neutral current events, the electron neutrino events, and the tau neutrino events. It's all in summing. I did not want to discriminate. And also neutrinos and antineutrinos. Okay? Then, if you have a normal three generation, you expect this. Why you expect this curve here? Because the most of the atmospheric neutrinos are produced in the horizontal direction. Then you expect to see a peak here in this direction. Okay? If you add the NCT scale, you expect to see some resonance. But this resonance only happens if the neutrino causes some a large amount of matter. This means that if the neutrino is very close here, you don't expect to see a bigger matter effect. You need to cause here from the vertical. Okay? If you cause here the vertical, let's see. Then this is the more optimistic case. This is 2 plus 2 inverted mass hierarchy. Okay? And you can see here that you have to see a big effect because you have the resonance effect. Okay, the resonance happens in the neutrino channel. And in atmospheric neutrinos, the neutrinos are bigger than the antineutrinos because the flux is bigger and the cross section is bigger. Okay? And then, if you compare this curve with this curve here, you expect to see some big effect. This means that if I scooby run for 1 year, they can't discriminate between this and this. What this implies? This implies that iSCUBE can discriminate between the sign of the NCD scale. Okay? And if you look at V plus 1, also the distributions are different from this and this. Okay? And all these distributions are very different than what is expect in the standard T generation scenario. Okay? And to comment, this peak here is induced by the matter effect. It's induced because you have a large amount of electron neutrinos produced in your tetrahedron. This here, you don't have electron neutrinos. It's because the tau neutrinos. The tau neutrinos oscillate with the NCD scale, vacuum, almost vacuum, and you have this excess of events. Okay? Then, if you see, if you can see this Zenith distribution, in principle, you can discriminate between the different contributions. Okay.
But does this have the angular resolution of a realistic detector in there? Or
no, no, it's perfect. Okay.
So this will prevent IceCube from carrying out its mission of finding the EV sources?
Yeah. There's some point here. In this region, in this energy range, you don't expect any background because extragalactic neutrinos are very small for long TV energy range. And the prompt neutrinos also, let's say, depending on what mode you choose, also is small. This means that if you see this effect in the TV energy range, this needs a big NCD mass scale. Okay? If you increase the energy, you are far away from the resonance, then you need the effect to go down. Then this can, you can be some estimate of what's the mass scale. Okay, because you can see the MSW resonance moving linearly with the mass difference. Okay?
So that's a lot more important than this vision.
Huh?
It's more important. This is more important than its stated vision.
Uh-huh. I want to point you to say, this is the most optimistic situation. This is for NCD scale of 0.5 electron volt square. Why this? If you increase the mass, also you can have a bigger effect. But the problem is that the limits that you have from the experiments are stronger.
Okay,
they limit the meets and angles are smaller.
Let me come back to my original question. Suppose we go up to 50 eV squared and drop the mixing angle by a factor of 10. Okay, so that'll give you the same adiabaticity parameter, basically. So it'll still be an adiabatic. It'll still be a reasonable amount of conversion in Europe.
Sure, but the energy will be, the threshold will be higher.
That's right.
But yeah, sure.
But you could extend this study, like, and use this to explore.
No, you can't do this. This is only an example. Let's say, no, say, if you increase the mass, let's say, okay, thank you. Because the point is, say, if you increase the mass, independent, which, if you say this is correct or not, always you can use this to test if you have any sterile neutrino.
Right.
I'm sorry, a large scale. Because if you have this large scale, you can have this resonance happen.
So if I go up to 50 eV squared for a delta M squared scale and drop the mixing angle by sine squared to theta by two orders of magnitude, that is, you know, the current experiments say nothing about that. That mixing angle mm-hmm. is way too small to do anything. But with matter enhancement, it actually does something here at higher energies.
Sure, yeah.
But it, of course, gets narrower, and I think it gets very narrow, and
yeah, I don't know about that.
Narrow
energy. At the first, you drop very fast, yeah. And the property will be large contamination by extragalactic. Because this is for 1 GeV. If you have 10 GeV, you begin to see the contribution of the property neutrinos.
I mean, this is not an MSW effect. It's just a narrow.
No, it's matter enhancement. It's matter enhancement.
It's matter enhancement. It's in my original paper on the core chemistry. It's just the matter enhancement. It's just they have this extra parametric. But it's a narrow.
No, but
it's
still
a narrow. It has a narrow energy region, unlike this MSW, which converts everything.
So yeah, I still think it. You know, it's worth actually asking. You know, what kind of limit you could put on higher delta M squared.
Yeah, I think it gets worse and worse as the angle to get to those moments.
Mm-hmm. Mark. And then, the conclusion. And then, what's the point of this work? Then the point is, if you have a large mass scale of the order 0.5 to 2 electron volt, you can see some effects that you change the neutrino conversion probability in GeV energy range. Okay? And what with the signal, it will be some mu neutrino direct neutrino conversion induced by matter, and mu neutrino to tau neutrino almost as vacuum oscillations. Okay? And if you're looking for Zener distribution of upper going means, you expect to see an event. And what something that I didn't want you to have, only to see some qualitative view, is to say, if you have a decrease in the upper going mean first, the upper going mean data, he measures the mean survival probability. The cascade events is a measure of the mean neutrino direct neutrino conversion. This means that you need to coincide. If you see a deficit in the upper going mean, you need to see some increase in the cascade events. And the Zener distribution can see the signal to say, what is the sign of the datum square? Because you can have a resonance or cannot have a resonance. Okay?
I understand that because you have no new units and new bars, so.
Yeah, but the point that I say, if you change the sign of NSAD, the contribution of the mean neutrinos to atmospheric data is the fraction, let's see, the mean neutrinos is 70% of, and anti-neutrinos is 30%. This means that you are changing, let's say, this is the point. Okay, this is the, okay, that is.
About this last point, if you could maybe go back, I think, to the previous figure, it looked like in the 3+1 case, or it was hard to distinguish the normal and inverted hierarchy.
This is the point. Although the principle can have the resonance, the point is say the equation that I put before for the energy resonance is similar, is a typical value. The point is say if we make the same equation for the 3+1. This resonance is suppressed by the mixing, okay? This is what not happened in 2+2. This is because you have smaller conversion effect for 3+1. Okay, this is the point. And because of this is the two here, you don't have a strong resonance. I'm not sure here the conversion probability, but you can see that most of this difference here is tau appearance. And this is another thing I didn't have time to say. In 3+1, most of the conversion is because the mean neutrino to Cal conversion. And the 2 plus 2, most of the conversion is mean neutrino to electron neutrino. And you have a small contribution of tau neutrinos. Okay?
Now suppose I added terms for 2 e squared. How would they affect the discrimination between the hierarchy?
You squeeze the difference? Because the limits are stronger. That's it. You see,
I think by all in on this guy, I mean, we don't know delta m squared.
Sure. If you choose the semi threshold for the energy, the difference will be decreased here. Because the resonance is not... This I choose this the threshold of this event to be just before the resonance energy. If you increase the mass, you don't see this effect. Okay?
Since you don't know delta m squared,
sure.
How does the fact that we don't know it affect the result?
Yeah.
No. Let's say Minibu doesn't see anything, but they see something.
Oh. Yeah. This will be a complicated question.
No, you really, as far as I tell you, really need to know where your resonance is. Otherwise, you choose.
Yeah, you choose.
Count it, and everybody knows you always find something. It doesn't mean anything. You've got to know where to put your cup.
No, I
can't. Data. Otherwise, you choose countless ones and somebody finds something and nobody believes it.
No, you have some way to try to find out from the data itself. You made different thresholds.
Yeah,
and you just watch the distribution.
You find something at one threshold, but there's too many choices. Same as finding residences. You have too many choices. You really ought to know it somewhere else so you have a chance. I mean, you just look and look and look at different places. Sooner or later, you find something nobody believes.
How much do you expect angular resolution if it's effective?
I will not put this.
I know, but do you have any idea?
The 30 degrees.
But
if it's 30 degrees, are you quoting from very high energy events?
Sure.
Or are you quoting for TeV energy? I mean,
No. The
information must get much worse when the energy is smaller. And if somehow this turns into a number, then you have no effect. I mean, then you don't have anything. So, I mean, if you put in real errors, how bad will things get?
No, you can't see me. Let's say, if you see the total number, you can see the difference.
Well, but
for these parameters, yeah.
But then you have to know what the flux is, you have to understand what the cross section is.
No, but the flux you know are low energy.
Flux.
Because this flux is mean neutrino flux.
No, I understand.
The absolute value you know because of this.
So that's what you have to do. You have to look at the control lines, you have to look at this, and you have to understand the cross sections well.
The flux of these energies isn't very long.
Yeah, the flux. Yeah, but if you have the Mueller data,
you have
a
cross
that gives you a handle. If you don't know the cross section,
you know. So
what are the things you have to worry about? You have to worry about the cross section. You have to worry about the flux.
This.
You have to worry about the new mu to new bar ratio.
Yeah.
Also, things which are not well known.
No. Also, you need to discriminate cascades. No. This is the main point. And say, you see the say, whole well, you can see the say. This. What is the fish that you can see cascades events?
Also, this is not. This is not in there.
Huh?
So this is 100% efficient.
100% efficient.
Yeah.
Sure.
This resolution is
perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you assume perfect resolution.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but once you include resolution, obviously it's not going to look so good.
Right. So how much? The point is to say, no, my, okay. The point.
You said he said that it is
perfect. No, the point is to say. This is perfect. No, the ice scoop experiment are not looking for this type of events.
Right.
They are looking for cascades initiate at 10 GeV or 100 GeV.
Mm-hmm.
This they know that you have here because you expect to see extragalactic neutrinos.
Okay.
This here implies that you need to have some changes. They say, then the point is they say you didn't know here what's the resolution. They say they expect the answer for us. They say needs to be more or less the same. This is the first answer, what did they give to us, okay? But they're not complete, they're not meta-analysis because of these events. Because this is a TV energy range. Okay? Because the point for them is that atmospheric neutrinos is background, but for us is a signal. Okay? It's a different view. Okay?
Any other questions, Ms. Hunt? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.